You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, you guys, welcome to the Temple of Hoop Live. We are here on the Spotify Live app. As always, I am here with my co-host, Kings. It's me, Coach Mabels, a.k.a. J. Mabes. Kings, two eliminations tonight. We're not surprised by either. I really want to just hop into the series that everybody seems to be looking forward to, this Boston-Milwaukee series that's on deck.
Yes,
what's your initial projections going into it?
Man, what's the Middleton timeline, number one? You know, that's kind of what you want to ask going in. And then number two, I think Milwaukee found good money with this big lineup that they playing. This Middleton, Portis, Lopez lineup. I mean, Portis had 17 rebounds tonight. Just great size. I think one of the things that people mention about Boston is that their starting lineup has a lot of size too. So just being able to at least neutralize that factor that Boston has while keeping the spacing, I think that's going to be very key. So that's a really good lineup that Coach Bud found in this series. So I don't know if he was thinking forward when he did that, but I think that's going to be really good come next series. I think it's going to enable them to slow the game down, because Boston already kind of plays slow anyway. So I think with this big line, he's really going to make it a rebounding battle, a defensive battle, and then guys are really going to have to hit those threes when the defense sends the help on Giannis, and they have guys to do all of that. So I think even without Middleton, honestly, I think they can win. But again, that would require, you know, Giannis to have an all-time series. But we might be in the middle of his all-time run right now. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. But I'm definitely, if I'm a Milwaukee fan, I'm definitely looking at the Middleton timetable for his return.
Yeah, just going off what you just said, somebody posted a snippet of Woj talking about that he may be out a little longer than they expected.
Yeah, if that's the case, then like I said, then they're just gonna have to ride that. They're gonna have to ride that big lineup, man.
Yeah, like, I think so.
I mean, I really believe, and like I'm really shocked that Bud discovered that lineup. But I really believe it's enough to get them like over Boston, just the way Boston plays. Like it's like you know playoff hoop. It's always a matchup and play style type of affair. You know what I mean? Like with the Nets, they were undersized. They didn't have wing defenders. They didn't have much size, and it wore on their stars' legs. But with the Bucks, they can keep Giannis fresh. They can on both ends of the court. They got the guard. They got good guard depth and good shooting. So it's like I think they really have enough. And this is where, remember when I picked the Bucks to repeat this year, I said they have a lot of depth, and this is where you're going to see it is in a series like this. When you lose a guy like Middleton and you're still able to compete anyway against another contender, that's where that depth comes in handy, and I think you're going to see this series.
Yeah, so here's where I am. So the Nets, we both agreed the Nets were super disorganized, no real offensive structure, kind of leaning on Kyrie and KD being just, you know, being phenomenal shot makers, right? I think the Bucks have a lot more, you know, structure and organization to their offense. This is not taking anything from the Boston sweep, but the Nets were in every game in that series. You know what I mean? So it's like Boston did sweep because their late game execution was just on point, and they were able to force Brooklyn the tough shots, and Brooklyn couldn't get stops in big moments. I think Milwaukee has a much more organized and structured offense, and Giannis scores from so many different areas on the floor, whether it be the mid post, the low post, or just attacking from out high. And on top of that, I think the Bucks are going to be able to get stops when they you know, need to. So, you know, a lot of people were the sexy pick I've seen is, you know, Celtics in six. I got some people feeling super giddy off that sweep, Celtics in five. I don't see it. My official pick is going to be Bucks in six. I just think Giannis is the best player in the world, and I think he's really going to show that this series against a defense of this level. I think they'll challenge the defense a little more because, again, I think the Bucks have a lot more a lot more dynamic offense that just doesn't depend on guys to be incredible shot makers every night. So I'm leaning toward Bucks and six. I think I'm going to stick with that.
You know, that's funny because I really like the Bucks in this matchup, bro. And as crazy as it sounds, right, because they don't have Middleton, a guy who's been, their best perimeter scorer. But, man, that lineup that Bud uses, man, it's going to give Boston a lot of problems because, like you said, the size of Boston was the advantage over the Nets, as well as the Nets just being completely discombobulated offensively, right, having no structure. And like you said, those were still close games every game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Boston was just running them off the floor every single night. Like, those were close games, even with all those flaws. With Milwaukee, like you said, they're going to get stops. And like, people need to look at Boston's play style. Boston plays the way Milwaukee wants to play. Yeah. Half court, defend, you know, make every possession matter. Like, that's how Milwaukee likes to play. They like to slow it down and use their size and wear you out. The same way Boston plays, the same way Milwaukee likes to play, and they have more size, and they have more, I think, versatile bigs offensively. That's the key. I'm not sure if the Celtics get into a half-court battle, I'm not sure they can score enough offensively with Milwaukee, because remember how I told you, when the Milwaukee, they can win slow, but when those shooters get going, it's an avalanche, and you saw that against Chicago. When Grayson Allen got going, well, you know, it was over. Like, it was over. They ran him off the floor. So it's like all it takes with Milwaukee is just that one guy, that one role player, Connaughton, Allen, or if Hill comes back, all it takes is that one role player to get hot off the wall that you're building against Giannis, and then you're in trouble. Like, you're all of a sudden, you're down 20. And if, like, you want to slow the game down, they love that because they got Brooke Lopez, they got Bobby Portis, they got Giannis, and they'll get into a half-court battle with you. Like, Milwaukee can play any style. And that's what people are going to really see this next series. Like, they can play any way you want to play them. And they've really evolved since taking that sweep to the Heat. They've really become more dynamic. Bud has really become better with his adjustments and game planning. And I agree with you, man. I think Milwaukee's going to shock a lot of people this series. I mean, they already shocked people when they lost to the Bulls, lost Middleton, and went on to just destroy them for three straight games. So I think people got to understand this is a different Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think them playing better when Middleton went down, that was impressive to me, you know. And I will say this, Middleton has historically been a Bucks killer when Giannis has struggled, so I think they will miss that. But again, I think the Bucks have the better team.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you guys want to just go ahead and tap that request button, you know, we are taking questions as the show goes on. If you got something you want to say or ask, feel free to do that. And we'll get it going. We got one already. Let's see what we got here. Eli, what's going on, my boy?
Man, I'm hurt, man. I'm hurt. You feel me? What y'all on?
What's good? Eli is one of my little homies. He's a big Bulls fan. Eli, man. What's going on? What's on your mind, bro?
Hurt, pain, disgruntled. frustrated. Man, I don't know how to feel about it, but I got Boston in five, bro.
Oh, so tell us why you have Boston in five before we respond.
Man, the Bulls got absolutely nobody for Giannis. I feel like Boston's long. And like y'all said, so are Milwaukee. But I don't know. Without Middleton, bro, that shit going to be tough, bro. My bad for cursing. I don't know if I can do that, but.
No, it's for the kids, but we have a bleep button, you know. So just try not to overdo it. I mean, like I said, it's. I think the Boston definitely has the best defense in basketball. I just think that, like King said, one of his main points was it's a similar style of play. And I just think the Bucks have the better player on the floor and more experience, you know, doing it. So that's kind of where I am with it. But it's going to be a great series. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, my issue is that if you're Boston, right, if you want to play that physical style, slow style, then it works when the team that you're playing against doesn't want to play that, and that's a weakness. But, like, the Bucks want to get into that rock fight. And you know, if the Bucks didn't have shooting bigs, I would obviously give the advantage to Boston. But the fact that Portis and Brook Lopez can shoot threes, that puts pressure on Boston's defense. They can't rest on defense now with those guys. Their bigs have to cover space because the Bucks bigs are gonna get up threes and they're gonna make them if they're open. So it's gonna be, I think it's gonna shock a lot of people, man. Like, it's gonna shock a lot of people.
My biggest concern with that series, bro, is like with the Bulls, we got LaVine. He doesn't close out. DeMar doesn't close out. I literally say like half our lineup does not close out. So their shooter's always going to be open. Ain't no closeouts. I don't think Boston's going to leave them open. And even if they do, it's going to be like good contest. And I think if Lonzo play, Lonzo got a long wingspan. He could help on Giannis. Like Caruso could too. He could crash on him. But when he crashes, he's not really long enough to get back to shooters. I think Lonzo's long enough to get back and affect shots for real. I think that's what we're really missing. I still think Bucks would have won it like five or six with Lonzo, but it would have been a closer series, I think, bro.
You know, that's a great point you brought up. I will say literally somebody told me the stat when I was, you know, arguing with, you know, the Bucks in this series. The Celtics are giving up the fewest amount of open threes in the playoffs. And a lot of that may have to do with, you know, the Nets offense, which is extremely predictable. But I think that's still, you know, something to look out for. So to your point, you know, the Celtics do not give up a lot of threes.
Yeah, I don't think the guards like Grayson. I don't expect Grayson to have a good series. I don't expect Connie to have a good series. But I think where the Celtics will live with is Brook Lopez and Portis taking threes, because I think that's where they're going to be like, you know, because you can't use guys who are guarding those guys to try and contest all the time, because it's gonna wear your legs down, especially when you know you have to box them out to get defensive rebounds so you can get possessions, because you know those guys are gonna be battling for offensive boards. It's gonna be tough for them to always try to contest the bigs' threes. Like at some point, like you just live with the 35% shooting big, or you know high percentage shooting big in like Portis just taking it and proving he can hit it. And that's why I think they're gonna get in trouble, because you know, I don't think they're going to hit it like and run him off the floor, but in that end of the game execution where you know you have to get the wall to help on Giannis and he finds an open Portis or open Brook Lopez, I think that those type of plays are going to, you know, those type of plays are going to win the series for the Bucks. That's how I see it.
Yeah, man, we'll see. Like I said, that's probably the second round series I'm looking forward to the most, man. We kind of circled that as soon as the playoffs started. But Eli, I appreciate you, bro. That was good stuff.
Thank appreciate you, y'all, man. You know I mess with the pod and stuff, but I'm finna catch y'all.
Got a couple friends to bring up here. Miles, my boy.
Now we can talk about the real series. You.
Miles, you there? There
we go. Yeah, you know what time it is. I got two questions, man.
Go ahead.
Kings, do you still believe and why?
Miles, I told you we were winning at seven, bro. I was not moved by that game. I was not moved at all, because we're young and we're dumb, so we're just going to forget about it tomorrow when we go back home. So I don't even care about that game. Just get us to game seven, and we'll see it at that
point. You know what? I said indeed, that too.
It's on the refs at this point.
I said that too. I was like, the Timberwolves are too young to be affected by that game. It's like, whatever. You know,
bro, we literally go up double digits almost every game, either win the game or lose the game, or losing the lead. Like, it doesn't bother us at this point, honestly. Just win the next game, bro.
I gotta ask you too, as Wolves fans though, and I'll let you guys kind of take the rest of this segment.
What do you think happens when you guys get up by double digits? Like, what is the thing that's triggering you guys to just say, let the rope go and let them back in the game?
I think it's the pace. We get up in that frantic pace when it's back and forth all game, when Ja can't score. And I mean, unless Bane is going 7 for 10 from three, they don't put numbers up until the fourth quarter when the game slows down and we get in the half court. And then it's D'Lo taking contested middies, taking step back threes, Cat catching and shooting. And we can't just run an offense and get reliable buckets.
I was going to say the issue, Maples, is that D'Lo's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is getting quality looks for everybody, including himself and for others. He's taking the ball and trying to hero ball when he should be taking the ball, facilitating, trying to get guys open, trying to make sure Cat gets it in the spots that he wants, trying to make sure Ant catches on the closeout or catches it with a proper matchup. Instead, he's trying to hero ball it. Like, that's what's hurting us, is when we get these leads, we don't have the vet presence to say, hey, we got the lead, let's take it possession by possession. For whatever reason, when we get the lead, we decide to start playing up-tempo. Memphis is much better than us in up-tempo. They're more athletic. So it's like, for whatever reason, when we get up, we start forcing bad shots. Memphis starts running. Next thing you know, they score 10 points in, like, 2 minutes. And it's a four-point game. Like, this is – like, we need to execute when we're up and stop playing lax and free. Like, I think when we get up, we play free. That's why I was tweeting. I was like, I'd rather us be in a close game, because when we're in a close game, we actually make it a half-court game, which is where we're better than Memphis at. But when we're up, we start playing up and down, and we start doing dumb. Like, we just start doing dumb shit, bro. Like, that's really just what it is. We start doing dumb stuff. We have 15-plus. Like, I'm sick of seeing that every single game.
That's my other question, though, is Maples. I saw you, if Memphis wins, you said they're going to give the Warriors war. And I don't know how you believe in this team, Doc. Like, because the Warriors aren't going to make these dumbass mistakes the Wolves did.
I'm going to say it's a game. It's a style. It's a game. Playoffs is all about matchups to me.
Indeed.
Minnesota has the personnel to keep Ja out the paint. The Warriors do not, especially if they play that death lineup. Because that makes Draymond the only rim protector. If you watch the game, they just can't keep Ja out the paint, which is why Memphis gives them trouble. They having to rotate, and then Memphis got a bunch of guys that can shoot the ball, especially Bane. Bane has been a Warriors killer. You know what I mean? So I don't know if Taylor, if they win, you know, if Taylor Jenkins tries to, you know, try Steven Adams again. Good luck. Curry's going to kill him coming off through handoffs and a pick and roll like he did Joker this series. But we'll see. I think it's a series either way. Minnesota has much better personnel to contain Ja than the Warriors do. Even though the Warriors are a much better team than Minnesota with their experience and championship pedigree, but personnel-wise, they don't have the same personnel to contain Memphis' best player, in my opinion.
No, I think that's fair. I think the thing that concerned me about them is that they're killing us on the offensive boards, and the Warriors don't have nobody.
Right.
Now, that for sure. But Ja has proven he's scared to take a shot outside of the paint. So, I mean, it's almost like he's making it too easy to game plan for him, despite any, you know, deficiency the team might have. But we're going to see. We're going to see.
Like I said, Kings believes it's going to be Minnesota dub anyway, though, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Like I told you, like, we're better than this team. Like that, I mean, I've seen it in the 5 games. Like, we are the better team. We're obviously not executing down the stretch to close these games out, but we are the better team. So, if we, you know, we're at home, LeBron James sent out the stamp of approval by Twitter about Ja. So, we should see game 7. And like, I'm not worried about playing Memphis on the road at home. I'm not worried about that. What I need is when my team goes up 15-plus, we need to play proper offense and we need to play proper basketball. Like, that's just it. Because we're going to go up 15-plus again. We're going to go 15-plus again. But what are we going to do when we go 15-plus? Are we going to start doing stupid shit, taking rush threes, turning the ball over, and letting them run? Or are we going to run half-court offense, get Cat, get Ant the ball where they need it? You know what I mean? And then get guys on the move and attack the weak links. Like, that's the key. And as regards to the Memphis and Golden State, look, it's the way we game plan against Memphis, yeah, we swarm, but look who we're throwing at the point of attack. We're giving Ant, we're giving Pat Bev. You know, you even got J-Mac or Vando, guys with size and with speed. bro, if he goes against the Warriors, pull Curry. Like, come on, bro. No way. Like, Gary, like, GP2, yeah. great defender. Hell of a defender. But, you know, speed-wise, he might not have it. And then, like, who's on the back line? You know what I mean? At least we have more length on the back line that's athletic with Minnesota, where he's not going to see that against Golden State. So I think that's, like, Maple said, I think that is reason why Memphis is so – matches up so well Golden State. Like, Golden State really just can't stop that primary attack from Ja, which is what causes their defense to get in the flux. And on the opposite end, you know, Memphis is so athletic with their wings when they go with Clark. Like, they're just so athletic defensively. They can switch. You know, Bane is big. You know, Dylan Brooks, same thing. Ja, you know, JJJ, you already know JJJ and how he gets down. So it's like, there's so much size for them and so much versatility, so they can really cover Golden State's schemes well. So it's a really good matchup with Memphis and Golden State, but I do think because Golden State is just much better in the half court and they'll make it a half court game, that they'll end up winning in the next six.
Points were made.
My boy. All right, Miles.
Yeah, be cool, man.
My boy. Vinay, you there, my boy?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
My guy.
Nothing much. I was going to say, I just wanted to – I put it in the chat, but I was going to your point, Kings, like I actually feel the same exact way you do about this matchup against Memphis and Minnesota. Like, I don't think it's impossible for the Wolves to beat them, even in a game seven in Memphis, because I don't think they believe that they're like, Memphis is better than them. They don't play like it. Like, they play like a team like, oh yeah, we're on your level. Like, we know we can beat you. And then you see it, like you said, like, they keep going up double digits. The only issue that they have is that they can't hold the leads. But they keep going up double digits, so it's like clearly they're doing something right. They just got to put it all together.
Yeah, I got to give King his credit. Before the series, he said we are the more talented team. So I think that's been shown. It's just a matter of execution and, you know, not being boneheaded, you know, late basketball games.
Like Ant literally said, oh yeah, I decided to steal the ball. Like, come on, man. Like, you just hit the game tying shot. Like, that's the type of stuff we've been doing. Like, we it's because we literally believe we're better than them. Like, we start doing stupid stuff and stupid gambles because we think that, you know, we can make it happen because we're the better team. Like, and we are, but you, at the same time, Memphis is the second best record in the NBA, bro. Can't be playing, you know, you can't be playing bozo basketball and thinking they're not going to capitalize on that, especially a team that's as good as they are in transition and a fast and an up-tempo offense and an up-tempo basketball game. Like, if you make the pace go fast, Memphis is going to be on you. And that's what happens when you get up, man. We start trying to force things, start rushing the issue, and then next thing you know, Memphis are on a 12-0 run.
Yeah, man, I got to say, I love Ant Edwards, by the way. I'm team Ant Edwards all the way. But I got to tell you, man, when that jumping high side with 2 seconds left, bro. Oh, my God. Hey, man, look, that's like one of the all-time worst decisions I've seen defensively late in the basketball game. That was absurd. But I remain team Ant Edwards. He's going to be a top five player Absolutely. In this league for a long time. That was just absurd to see, man. You got to take it as a long learning experience, King. That's all it is, man.
I hope what Bill Simmons says doesn't come true. He said we're going to be the Clyde Drexler Blazers, have a fun team, fun run, but then lose our bozo mistakes, man. I hope that's not the case.
Well, Bill Simmons said it, so you're in good hands.
So I got a question for you guys. It was on the previous segment. You guys talked a little bit about the next round matchup between the Celtics and Milwaukee. Obviously, Milwaukee, we don't know what's going to happen with Middleton, whether he's going to be able to play or not. But one of the things I thought the Celtics were able – that really decided – aside from, like, the super good scouting that they did of Kevin, of Durant and stuff like that, and just forcing him into being a playmaker, which is something he clearly is not very good at doing. Like, it feels like you can't scheme against Giannis like that because he's an extremely good playmaker. And he does, like, one of the things that I think NBA Twitter doesn't appreciate. Like, he'll attack the rim for the sole purpose. And, you know, this is a Bron quality too. Like, he'll attack the rim for the sole purpose of setting up his guys. Like, he'll sacrifice his body to do stuff like that. So I feel like that game, this series is going to be more physical. But my question to you guys is do you think the Celtics have enough bodies to keep Giannis out of the paint, knowing, you know, the kind of motor Giannis has?
Well, you know, if Al Horford continues to look like he was in a hyperbolic chamber like Boba Fett, and if, you know, Rob Williams holds up, those are two guys. I don't think they want to put Tatum or Jaylen Brown in for extended, you know, minutes. That's foul trouble and energy that they're wasting, and they I don't think they'll hold up that great either. So we'll see. It's a lot that's going to be on Rob Williams and Al Horford. I do not believe Daniel Tice will give Giannis any type of resistance whatsoever. So it's going to be on Horford and Rob Williams, man. How much, if they can defend Giannis to the point where not that much help has to come, which I don't think anybody can, I think that'll dictate a lot of how the series will go.
I think, you know, it would have been fun to see fully healthy Rob Williams against Giannis. I think that would have been a really fun matchup. And I think had he not had that injury, I probably would have picked the Celtics in six or seven games. But I think that injury compromises him a lot to the point where, you know, he's going to get worn down. And I'm not sure Horford at this age is able to give the minutes that's needed to handle Giannis one-on-one. And also, like I said, it's not just going to be Giannis wearing you down, bro. You saw the lineup, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis. Those guys are going to be inside there getting busy. So, I did not see this type of lineup a month ago, man. Like, that lineup changes everything. I mean, you see how they're playing with it. It is very, very dangerous. And the Celtics really don't have that much film from the regular season on it because, you know, Bud kind of pulled this as a last resort type of thing when Middleton went down. So it's like that lineup is going to really be a huge thing in this series. I think it's going to overwhelm the Celtics.
Yeah, I will say Horford's three-point shooting is going to be a big factor because Watching the Bucks, they have shown they are going to let centers take threes.
Oh, yeah.
Bud does not have Brooke or Portis show. Those centers are going to have threes. Remember, they just lived and died with Vooch, man. They said whatever. He had that one game. He had all those threes.
And Vooch can shoot it too.
Exactly. And Vooch can shoot. So they're gonna let Horford have his threes on pick and pops or when he just, you know, spots up. It's just gonna his 3-point shooting is gonna have a big effect on the series.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think this series is just going to be just way more physical. Both fan bases are going to definitely be complaining about fouls and lack of fouls and stuff like that. Who gets what call and that sort of thing. My last question, and then I'll let you guys go because I don't know if you're going to touch on this topic. Maples, do we get a bounce back game for BI and CJ the next game?
Yeah, man, we were actually going to go there next before our closing out. We're talking about Toronto, right. Philly. Yeah, man, I wasn't so much worried about the offense, you know, that's going to come for him. Like, that was an anomaly bad game. He missed a lot of shots he could normally take. Credit to Bridges for making it a little tougher to get to his spots. The thing is, defensively, Bridges is a great defensive player. He's going to have moments where he beats you, the nights where he beats you. The thing is, he's not a 31-point guy. Not in a game five swing game where you absolutely just can't keep losing them, getting backdoored, overhelping. I think, you know, Ingram was just very, very bad defensively that game. That was the issue more so than the offense to me for as far as that Pelicans game goes. But I think he'll bounce back. He has all season, and I think he'll answer the bell. The issue is they got to get a good game from CJ for once. He hasn't played well all series, even the two games they won. Like, he's hit timely shots, but he has not put together a good game this entire series. I think it's a little tougher because Phoenix has a lot of length on the wings. But he's got to start winning those one-on-ones he gets when they're overloading and trapping B.I. Or Monty's going to continue to sell out and just live with him, you know, don't keep him to throw up bricks. So, you know, that'll be the key tomorrow for me if CJ can really eat off the attention B.I. is getting.
Yeah, man, I'll let you guys keep going. I'm just curious to know your thoughts about that Celtics series and then just kind of what happens tomorrow. So, y'all take it easy.
All right, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, so Kings, what do you think about that? You know, obviously I'm biased because B.I. is my dude. What do you think about that game six tomorrow? Let's
just remember, I told you, I said Suns in seven because I expected the Suns to come out in game five and just dominate that game because they're at home. I told you that CP3 was going to save his better games for the home games and then try and win those. You said he came out 22-11, Bridges came out, dominated because he was at home. Role players at home, they always do what that they always do what they do. So that didn't shock me one bit. But when you watch when the Pelicans go back at home, you see how Alvarado turned up, you see how Herb turned up, you know what I mean? You see how Hayes turned up over there. So it's like, you know, just it's home at home. Like that's what this series is gonna come down to. So I got the Pelicans winning, game six. I think their role guys are going to show up and play a good game, and I think CJ is going to have a good game.
Right. So I got to ask you, they did say Book is trending towards trying to give it a go. So what does that do?
I think they're going to save Book for game. If they really have to play Book this series, they're going to save him for game seven. Not going to send him on the road to go do it. They'll do it for game seven in a do or die situation.
I got you. My boy, Jeremy, what's going on with you, my guy?
Yo, you hear me?
My guy.
There we go. Well, you guys basically touched on everything I was going to talk about with the Pelican series. Except for, you know, inside the Pelicans fan base, I know ain't nothing but 12, 15 of us and a lot of y'all don't know about it. But it's a JV discussion that I think game four kind of put it to rest, games four and five. Kind of put it to rest, but what do you guys think of him defensively, not just against Ayton, but also going against CP3? You know, he's a master snaking the pick and roll and whatnot. You just want to know how has he progressed throughout the series dealing with Phoenix's pick and roll scheme and Ayton, you know, doing what Ayton does.
Well, my thing with Ayton, at least he has to punch back against Ayton, and he started to do that. A couple 20-point games, big double-doubles. So that's fine. At least he's making that matchup somewhat of a 50-50 and not like 80-20, 90-10, how it was earlier in the series. As far as the pick and roll, he's going to stay and drop. We understand that. But the key is I think Herb and Alvarado do a great job of fighting over screens and making it a little tougher for Chris Paul to take advantage of the drop. So I think that's more so the key than JV. They're not going to put JV up on a hard hedge and say, hey, contain the best pure point guard in the league or of his generation at least. You know what I mean? So
that's
kind of where I am with that. If he stays in his drop, that's fine. But Herb and Alvarado just have to fight over the screens, and Pelicans have to pay somebody. The Pelicans 12 have to pay somebody to burn Devontae Graham's jersey.
My guy was winning his minutes until last night, man. He was winning his minutes, bro.
Man, so they have to find a way to close. So Willie can't make that mistake and put him in, man. Like, I think we're all privy to the politics about it. You know, it's hard for a coach to DNP a four-year, $48 million contract for a guy on a four-year minimum.
It just got off a two-way, too. Like, it's not like he had it for a month.
Right. So, you know, we understand how NBA politics work, but, you know, Devontae's just not giving you anything whatsoever in his minutes. And it's just like, you know, it's equivalent to playing 4-on-5. You know, a lot of time he's in there. Not making shots, not going to drive it, not going to
finish. Yeah.
It's kind of like, why is he out there? Go ahead, Kings. I saw you on mute.
Nah, the bro in the comments, Stephen Howard, man, he been praying Devontae don't see a single minute.
Yo, man.
Hey, man, I feel it though. Must win. So, for me with JV, I think like Maple said that him showing resistance to Ayton after that big game Ayton had was huge, because they're gonna play that drop, and JV's so good at spacing the floor as well on offensive end. And bringing Ayton outside the paint. So I think, you know, him being on the floor is so important on both ends of the floor. But in terms of this pick and roll, they're going to rely a lot on Alvarado, rely on Herb to really just wear down CP3. So it's for JV, since those guys are going to help him out, I think he's really just going to have to keep trying to, you know, neutralize that Ayton matchup. Like, you're going to get help on the pick and roll, so you have to make sure that you're not letting Ayton dominate you. Like, you have to make sure Ayton is neutralized.
All right. Last thing I'm going to say is, like, my fellas ain't supposed to be here, you know what I'm saying? So every second that they learn, they grew up fast in the second half of game one, and they ain't scared, and they putting up a fight, and they competing every second, every minute, even during getting kicked in the balls and getting dirty screens and Phoenix's me color commentating, agreeing that they need to knock out over Jose, because how dare he play hard? But you know, I'm loving everything I see from my pals from 3-16 to here. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. Definitely one of the better stories of the NBA season, man, for sure.
Fun team for sure.
All right, I'm gonna drop out. Appreciate it.
All right, bro. Have a good one, Jeremy. All right, man. Let's finish with Toronto's Philly, bro.
Dude. Oh my god,
bro. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tomorrow is game 7 for the Sixers, in my opinion. I'm sorry. That's game 7. If they lose that game.
My mansion's going to be in hell, bro. My mansion's going to be in hell.
If they lose that game and are faced with making NBA history, some of the worst NBA history ever, mind you, with Doc and James Harden on the team, who will have a big say in the game, Bro, man,
I'm literally praying to God. Harden turned the clock back, bro. I'm literally praying to God, bro. Like this is not good.
Just you know, our agendas and just the historical ramifications aside, on the basketball side of it, I'll say this: what I suggested after game 2. They're giving Maxey a lot of the attention they were giving Harden a lot more one-on-one. And I think that's changed the dynamic of the series. And on top of that, Embiid's injury is bothering you. It's clear. He's not playing with anywhere near the same amount of fervor that he was earlier in the series. So, like, those are two really big issues going forward. And what do you think has to happen for Philly to close this out tomorrow?
I told you, bro. James Harden has to turn the clock back. It's just that simple. and this is why I'm concerned. You just said it. They're giving attention to Maxey. Embiid is hurt. He's clearly not the same. So it's literally on James Harden, and I'm very worried. Like I'm very concerned. And I'm just praying to God he turns the clock back, bro. I'm literally praying to God.
All right. So my head is saying, my head and my heart are aligned. I really think the Raptors win the game. But this has literally never happened, bro. Hundreds of times this has happened. Not one team has won. Four teams pushed it to a game 7 and lost to game 7. So tell me, what do you think happens tomorrow?
What I think happens, bro?
What do you think? You know it's going to be a zoo. Oh, they will not have their best defender, Matisse, because of the COVID rules, the COVID vaccination rules. Man, what do you think is happening tomorrow?
I'll tell you what I want to happen, bro. Because I want to tell you what I think will happen, because that's just going to make me mad. I want Harden to give me 40 and 12, bro. Please. Just give us vintage James Harden, bro. Please. Step back threes. Pissed off fans because you're getting to the line off some bullshit. Alley, you know, I mean, pick and roll maestro plays. Like, please, we need this. Like, I need this. Philly needs this. I don't need to see game 7, bro. I really just don't. I really just don't.
Man, you know what I want to happen? I need it.
I know you waiting on that pack, boy.
I need OG to keep making his life a living hell. I need Scotty to be even more effective as he starts to heal more from his ankle injury. Siakam's figuring out how to attack the Raptors defense. Oh, the other thing is, I got to say, great adjustment by Nurse. Going 5 out and making Embiid guard in space. Embiid's a top-tier rim protector. But making him defend in space against guys with a little bit of wiggle, I think that has also turned the series. Because he's okay at it, but he's not great at it over long stretches. And it costs him energy on the other end. So I think that's the other thing that's really tilting the series. There was like a 4-minute stretch. Somebody posted the possession. They just went at Embiid every time regardless. And I think that's very pointed from Nurse. And, yes, Vinay made a great point in the comments. Precious turned into a sniper from 3. And that also has changed things.
Man, I need this game. I need this to end in game 6, bro. I can't take games. I can't trust Doc and James Harden in games. I just can't do it.
All right, man. So I'm rooting for chaos tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and say we getting delivered two game sevens tomorrow. My head says the Suns ended, but my heart says B.I. gives me one more big game to send it back to Phoenix. But my head says Phoenix ended, but I'm going with my heart. I'm going to say we get two game sevens tomorrow. We get two game seven delivered for us tomorrow. Come on, man. Put it on wax. Put it on wax.
I got the Sixers tomorrow, and I got the Pelicans. That's
all right. You got Sixers and Pelicans. Okay, so we both got the Pelicans, and you got Philly. I got Toronto. Got it. It's on wax, y'all. Make sure you guys follow Addicts Kings, bruh, on Twitter. Myself, JJMaples55_MST. Make sure you subscribe to the pod. Give us feedback. Rate it. We appreciate all that. The support you guys are giving us has been outstanding lately. It's been a record month for the pod. So thank you. If you keep tuning in and keep forwarding it to your friends and your you know, coworkers, however, we definitely appreciate that. We will be back recording Sunday. Have a new episode for you Monday, breaking down more playoff action. Temple of Hoop, you guys be safe. We are out of here.
Peace, y'all.